98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. He played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade. Max Starks. Max Starks. Maximum Football. Maximum Football. With Doug and Wolf.
Please welcome, from the University of Florida, tackle Max Starks.
Every time the Max Starks intro is played and you hear the Bengals fans booing, I immediately think of the Cincinnati Bengals and the fact that they are 0-2. How are your Steelers doing, though?
They're in the same boat.
Oh, I see.
What's the worst thing a fan ever said to you?
Oh, boy.
Oh, I can't say that on the airwaves.
I figured you knew that.
Let me rephrase this.
I've had memes. I've had memes, too.
Max, let me rephrase this right here. Did you used to engage the fans on a regular basis? Would you do that? Would you speak to fans?
I would, because
You know what the rule is, right? What's the rule? Ignore.
You ignore them.
Oh, just ignore them.
Put the blinders on.
That's exactly right.
Go into a silo.
Yes.
But I lived downtown Pittsburgh, so, and I had to park in a garage and walk to my condo. So I had no choice. Like, literally, fans would stop in the middle of rush hour traffic to get out the car to either say something to me or shake my hand. And you always worry when a car comes screeching to a halt, jumps out and runs up to you. You were like a beacon.
You were so big.
Exactly. It's like left leg forward. Okay, this guy will go to one of two ways. Either I charge you or I charge in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Depending on what comes out of your pocket. Okay.
So I could not do it.
I tried. Everyone told me, Wolf, just ignore him. Just ignore him. Just ignore him. I could not do it.
This is amazing. That's a scary and beautiful story all at the same time.
Right. And I had Twitter. So, I mean, Twitter was coming around. So people had Twitter muscles. You know, you'd have a guy who'd tweet the worst thing to you,
but then
would come up to you and want an autograph.
Creepy guys.
And so it's like, how about you not put your face on your actual Twitter page?
There you go.
That would be great if you're going to do that.
You guys got to know this. This is a huge deal as of now. We'll see if it remains a huge deal through the rest of the week. So we already have news that we know on the Cardinals schedule they will not be playing Ben Roethlisberger. It looks like they will not be playing Eli Manning, because the only way they play Eli Manning is if he's still a Giant and Daniel Jones gets hurt or pulls a Nathan Peterman and throws five picks in seven passes or something.
Yeah.
And then we believe that they won't see Drew Brees this year, because Drew Brees is scheduled right now to be out 6 weeks, and 6 weeks from now, they face the Cardinals. There's a new person on this list. You guys both can explain to listeners how huge today is in the NFL calendar world for coaches, not necessarily for players, and then tomorrow's a huge day at practice. Well, right now, the Panthers are actually practicing on a Tuesday, and quarterback Cam Newton's status for Sunday is up in the air, as he has aggravated a foot injury, according to Ian Rappaport. He's rehabbing while his teammates are on the field. Ron Rivera will talk about the issue later.
Wow.
So there's a chance there is no Cam Newton. And I think I'm right in mistaking that the Carolina Panthers would have to go all the way to somebody from West Virginia to be their quarterback.
I think Kyle Allen is Kyle.
Did he take over as the backup?
I think the backup right there. I think they have Will Greer
as third string,
the number three.
Okay, thanks for the update.
Yeah, Will's number three. Which I would say I loved Will. Will was a Gator, so
yeah.
And then of course he went to West Virginia.
Yes, we love Will as well.
Yeah, exactly. You should. Yeah,
he did
you
very, very
please
well.
Don't tell
very
me he couldn't hack the academics of Florida and had to go.
No. Okay, it was a GNC issue.
I see.
Allegedly.
GNC.
But what I mean, how would you guys we clarified it
with a chance of suspensions.
We were funny. We clarified it as breaking speculation. Where do you guys clarify news on a Tuesday that Cam Newton is not practicing?
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say, Doug Lee? Yeah.
Max heard it.
Max and I had a little bit of a laugh.
No, I heard it.
That was good.
But Max was listening, so we can let Max answer. You can figure it out.
Go ahead, bud.
I mean, when you come on Tuesdays, obviously this is officially the NFL's day off. And I think, is it worrisome that he's not practicing on a Tuesday? No. Tell me Thursday, then I feel a lot better. You know, that he hasn't practiced either one of the Wednesday or Thursday, then I'm like, okay, now I can start drawing conclusions. Because this is Cam Newton. It's a foot issue, yes, but his arm wasn't affected. and he could still throw the football. He could still hand off to Christian McCaffrey. So, and they had a short week. It's tough, so it's going to be aggravated. So you want to give him a couple extra days off. He's not a young quarterback anymore, but it's not that huge. Now, if you said Luke Kuechly was out, I'd be really relieved. But yeah, Tuesday, it's a non-starter right now.
You have to look at it from Ron Rivera and the Carolina Panthers' perspective, though. Right here, maybe they view this as a winnable game. Maybe they view this as a winnable game. And man, Cam Newton, based on how poor he looked, how badly he looked in that last game, and if that foot is really causing him that kind of angst right there, maybe they better go ahead and get this guy healthy. It's last game with Cam Newton that makes me think that maybe there's a chance. Yeah, they're not going to start him in this game.
I don't see how either team, Cardinals or Carolina, doesn't look at the other team and say, this is a winnable game. I mean, the Cardinals haven't done enough offensively to give all these wonderful offensive awards that, you know, people wanted to say they were going to win this year, but they haven't been terrible either. And you look at Carolina and the throws Cam Newton is missing on, there's no way he's healthy. And I'm talking shoulder, let alone foot. Yeah. He is not even remotely close to the same quarterback that he used to be. And I could easily see them saying, we need you to just take a seat for a little while and get yourself healthy. And they can say, okay, foot sprain, all they want. Plus, they've got their bye week isn't till week 7, but they've got a matchup at Houston and then a divisional game against Jacksonville. I could easily see them saying, we're going to be very cautious, and if that means he doesn't play this week, it means he doesn't play this
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely.
Well, I think – here's the thing, but they're still not in – this is a conference game, and you're an NFC team. You need these wins because this is a common opponent that you potentially are going to have to play. So I think this game means more to me than a Houston matchup or even a Jacksonville matchup because they're both AFC and this is the NFC. And at the end of the day, you want to get into the playoff dance. You need to win NFC games and division games. So it's like, okay, how healthy is he come Thursday?
That's the question.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, so that's what it is.
That's what it is. How healthy are you by Thursday? Because this is, like you said, a winnable game in their eyes.
Yes.
We have a good enough defense that we feel that can compete. We just need to know, are you going to be the X factor or are you going to be the Y factor? And when I say Y factor, is why didn't we win? So I need to know by Thursday how you feel on that perspective. So that's why I say Tuesday, a couple extra days from a Thursday night game. And then let's see Wednesday and Thursday and evaluate.
Yeah, no doubt. I just think, again, the Carolina Panthers will look at the Arizona Cardinals and say, you know what, even if we were to start Kyle Allen, we have a good enough defense where we can compete. This is going to be a game where we're going to be able to compete, and maybe we can win it and rest Cam Newton in the process because that foot did not look good based on what we saw from Cam Newton the last time they played.
I realize that the Atlanta Falcons just beat Philadelphia, but as bad as they looked against the Vikings, that division's crazy right now. Drew Brees out for 6 weeks. Are you really going to buy BA and Tampa right now? And then you've got Carolina with Cam Newton either looking terrible on the field or injured. And after what I saw Atlanta and Minnesota, I'm not ready to jump up and down just because they beat Philadelphia, but that division just became a mess. That might be a division you kind of go into the season thinking two or three teams get into the playoffs, and now it's like, one, that's it.
Yeah, no, I felt the same way. I thought preseason I had the Saints pegged and the Atlanta pegged to be really competing for that NFC South division, and I'm like, what? I'm like, okay, so Carolina still has a shot. Tampa Bay, even as bad as they look, they technically still have a shot. They're one game down.
Three picks.
So, the NFC South has gone south real quick.
And keep in mind, when I made my Cardinals prediction earlier in the day, we had no idea about Cam Newton. So that's I still get credit. Coming up next, Kyler Murray has brought optimism to the Valley. Does Max see it? Maximum Football continues next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Are you talking to me, Kyler Murray? Yeah, the mighty Ray. Spect the NFL. Ray. throwing for over 300 yards in your first two games. Only Cam Newton is not that, Kyler. Yeah.
Your Pantera call-out is brought to you by AutoNation, with 13 dealerships in the Valley and over 100,000 new and pre-owned vehicles on AutoNation.com. Find what you're looking for today.
The reason that they are having success on offense is because of that young man.
Wow. That's a Hall of Famer talking about Kyler Murray. Kurt on Kyler yesterday when we were talking Cardinals quarterbacks. And right now, we're sitting here in the Action Community Studios, and we have the proud honor, as we do every week, of Maximum Football, when Max Stark, Super Bowl-winning offensive lineman, who just took a bow in the studio, is here to talk ball with us for an hour. And when you look back to, I don't remember which week it was of 2018, but week one and week two of Josh Rosen's life, which I think was like week four and five, it might have been weeks three and four, something like that, when he became the starting quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals.
He came in week three, but then started four and five.
Okay. The difference of optimism in this city of Cliff and Kyler versus Wilkes and Rosen, it's deserved, but it's
night and day.
It is so – I don't have the vocabulary to describe how this city feels. We have listener-only meetings, and people are going crazy saying, no, everything's okay. I've never heard any city in America
with an
0-1-1 football team that is so positive. With your knowledge as an offensive lineman, do you see reasons why this is justified?
Well, they're a half a win above of what Josh Rosen did in his
two weeks. Okay.
But there's a lot of room for optimism, because you see the confidence. You don't see kind of that blank, lost look back there at quarterback, which we had on more than one occasion with Josh Rosen. And you see a defense who is a lot better suited, as we see with Vance Joseph at the helm, mm-hmm. versus the Steve Wilkes 4-3. And they're also playing very competitive to keep guys in the game. My only one caveat, red zone scoring. And that's where the height comes in. And that's my only one concern.
I want you to go a little bit deeper on that right there, the red zone. What would you do? What are they missing in the red zone? Go a little bit deeper on that.
Well, they're missing.
I asked rhetorically.
Yeah, exactly. They're missing, let's see, 3 inches of height at quarterback for vision purposes, because you can't. That's not the first thing I think of. No. The first thing they think of is
run the ball.
They need a fullback. But they need 13 personnel. That's what they need, and they need like true bruisers down there. You can't get into a 10 or 11 personnel on the 2 yard line and expect that it's going to be an explosive play. But I think the biggest thing is also, if you're going to pass in those situations, you've got to get more creative with the passing. Mm. I mean, you have to have some type of play action with that rollout, and you need some cover crossers because...
And not a lot of play action works if no one believes you're really going to hand it off.
And so now I digress even further. You need to run the ball more in the middle of the field so that you actually have a threat to run. David Johnson does not look like a threat right now in the first 2 weeks. He's not running as hard as you think.
I would say the first week he did okay, right? I mean, he had 137 total yards in the first week and a touchdown. But
the 40-yard pass that created a window, once again, wasn't in the red zone, and he was able to ID him. But when you get closer, you know how everything compresses on defense.
Sure, absolutely.
And so everything gets tighter, so you have to be able to zip on a rope, and he doesn't have those lanes and those windows to throw, so you need to create it some other way. And running the football sucks up a linebacker, gives you the shallow crosser behind him, or you get out on a rollout after faking a handoff because they've sucked up, and now you create a couple of windows on a couple of drags to the sideline.
So you have led into a conversation that Wolf and I have had a couple times, and that is, we're not talking about David Johnson, the human being, one of the best human beings in the NFL.
Yeah.
But when we just talk about David Johnson, the running back, I don't think he runs as hard as he did pre-contract, pre-injuries. I'm not accusing him of taking the money and running. I don't know that. I'm not accusing him of being a wuss and being afraid of being injured. I don't know that. I'm just looking at how great I think he is, and the fact that I don't think he's taking advantage of the same opportunities. And I would like to see him get more opportunities, but I don't think he runs as hard as he used to. Wolf is saying, hey, I don't know
he's
about that.
He's never been a physical guy.
Let's not
he's
go
never
there.
Been the I'm going to run you over type guy.
What no. say you, Max? What do you see?
No, he wants to outrun it. But I think also for David Johnson, David Johnson is a person who, as you involve him more and earlier, the harder he runs later.
Okay.
And he needs to feel like he's a part of this offense. I don't think he feels like he's really a real option in this offense. I think he feels like I'm the afternote. I'm the change up. I am, you know, I'm like that the finger bowl when you're going to dinner. I'm the finger bowl right before the entree. Got to wet the fingers after about three or four courses. He's the finger bowl. You know,
okay.
Some people drink
okay.
the finger bowl because it's lemon water.
Oh,
but
please,
for
don't.
The most part,
no.
Yeah, exactly. You don't do that.
Don't do
but
it.
But some people do. But I think that's where he fits, and that's why I see his running looks like that. Like I saw the burst when he was trying to get to the pylon in week one and got shoved out at the last second. But I didn't see it at all in this game. I saw a couple of bursts up the middle. And I think it's different. When you're running out of 10 versus 11 personnel, that's a big difference for a running back. Because you usually have that safety net of a tight end. The edge is a little bit tighter, so you
sure.
can then make your one cut and come back. When you have five, and let's face it, it's like 4.5 on one side, you know, you have to make that decision a lot quicker, and you don't allow linebackers to develop the style that you like to set guys up for your line. Everything happens faster, and I think that's why you can see there's a definite difference. And I don't think it's contract. I don't think it's injury. I think it's feeling necessary. Feeling
I think the big takeaway
of this offense.
The big takeaway here is very simply for the rest of us in our measly little lives is the way football salaries have exploded because none of us go to Finger Bowl restaurants.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. We've seen it in movies, though. You've seen it in movies. You've seen it in movies.
Tell me people don't actually drink that stuff. Stop it.
Okay, fine. How about this? It's like when you get the hot hand cloth and you start wiping your face with it instead of just your hands.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah, that's
What's
another
What's wrong
one.
With that? Wiping your face.
But
is that
your
face on it?
You're wiping
you
your face
about?
Before you eat, really. No,
no,
wipe,
no.
It's for your hands.
What about on the airplane? You don't take the hot cloth. Oh, you just
What's amazing about this moment is...
What are you doing, Matt?
For those of you that might not realize, because I've only...
Because I washed my face before I got on the airplane.
I've only seen this from Coach looking ahead.
So
you guys
good.
Are arguing about first-class manners.
Yes,
the
right.
rest of us and Coach have seen the people up there.
Exactly.
But you guys are arguing
You've seen
about
it, so you know what we're talking about.
You must have a guest house the size of Wolf's guest house or
okay,
something
just,
like that.
Yeah, right. Max has houses.
I see. Coming up next...
Hey, not anymore. I sold it finally.
Oh, hey,
thank
congratulations.
God. Oh!
Some
fully
quarterback
an Arizona resident.
News that impacts the Cardinals in Week 3. It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The coaches for the Arizona Cardinals are only focused on the Carolina Panthers.
This is a little riff I laid down in the garage on Sunday, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's not. And it's Doug and Wolf here, live in the Action Community Studios with Max Starks, here for Maximum Football, where the Super Bowl-winning offensive lineman just sits and talks ball with us. But in the last 48 hours, everything has changed from Cardinals' opponent's perspective. Probably a 1% chance they see Ben Roethlisberger this year. He is eligible to come off of IR, but Max's friend scheduled for surgery on the elbow, and it's listed that he'll be out for the year. You don't assume they'll play Drew Brees this year, as Drew Brees is scheduled to be out for 6 weeks. And game 6 of 6 weeks is against the Cardinals. And I double down and say the Saints' bye weekend is right after the Cardinals. So it just would seem to make sense, even if Drew Brees is close, go ahead and sit him, get through the bye week, and he comes back after the bye. Then we find out Eli Manning probably won't be a quarterback against the Cardinals when they play the Giants. Daniel Jones named the starter today.
1 versus 6.
Now, that's true. Very good point. Now we've got new news that actually affects this week for now. We'll see what it says at the end of the week. And that is, according to Carolina media, Cam Newton is not practicing with the team, dealing with a foot injury, and it's a re-injury of a sprained foot. We will get more news coming up in a little while when Ron Rivera addresses the media. Within a Tuesday context, I realize it's not huge, but when you combine it with the way Cam Newton has looked this year, I do think it's a big story. If it was just one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL has hurt his foot, he's missing practice, and we'll talk on Thursday. Okay, all right, big deal. But when you're struggling like crazy anyway, and you've got an injured foot, and mobility used to be part of your game, I don't think he's playing against the Cardinals.
So you're saying there's four more winnable games on the schedule is what you're saying.
Because of the quarterback situation.
Because of QB situation. That's what I felt like I got out of that.
I didn't mean that, but yes, I am saying it once you say that. Yeah. But I like Daniel Jones. I just didn't like him at number six. But I love anybody that's from the David Cutcliffe tree. I think David Cutcliffe does a fantastic job of preparing quarterbacks. So I'm not willing to say they're going to win in New York. But, you know, if I'm in Vegas, I'm putting money down on the Cardinals this weekend.
I think the best evidence, basically, that you can look at in regard to why Cam Newton will not play against the Arizona Cardinals would be week number two. Watching him play in week number two, he looked absolutely like I have never seen Cam Newton look, quite frankly. Lost, ineffective, inaccurate. Looked like a guy that didn't want to tuck the ball and run for obvious reasons, mm-hmm. right? I mean, his foot is bothering him. I understand that. His shoulder as well. I think at some point in time, if you're Ron Rivera and the Carolina Panthers, don't you have to say, okay, wait a minute. Whoa. Yes, we're 0-2 right now. But we got to get this guy right or it's going to be a miserable, long season. We have to get him right. Now, listen, that's all predicated on the fact that there's something really wrong with Cam Newton in his foot. That it's not just this little tweak that he's got to get through somehow, mm-hmm. some way. Now, if it's just that, I understand why you're going to play him. But if it's something that this could linger for weeks, and that's what you're going to see out of Cam Newton, that kind of play, man, you've got to draw the line in the metaphorical sand and say, we got to get this guy right.
Yeah, I think, yeah, like you said, for the long-term health and competitiveness in the NFC South, which looks wide open, yeah, you want him as healthy as possible. So when you get to division time play, it will be a game that you guys want to be in charge of, especially with the flotilla of different options at quarterbacks that seem to be scouring the NFL. But I think more so if he is kind of on that cusp, then you got to play him because I go back to my earlier point, it's NFC games, and NFC games count when it comes to the playoff time in December. So you don't want to be iffy going into December.
But the whole thing is look at their division right now. Look at the division of the East.
It's almost like NFC if you believe
it's wide open.
It's a mess.
If you believed in Cam Newton's health, even Cam remotely, Newton. Or if he was playing well and the foot hurts, I think to Wolf's point, you have to play him. And whenever I say have to play about an injury, we all know. I mean, if he's hurt, like really right. injured, no. But when this is now a race in every team in this division to take advantage of the other three teams' misfortunes. You know, Atlanta not playing well, Breeze, Newton, and Tampa just being Tampa. So with every team being in a race for wins, whenever you play Arizona, you need to have your number one. I'm kind of with Wolf. I think if he played well in the first two games, I think you're saying we're playing him as long as he can go, despite the foot injury. Since he's playing so poorly, I do think you take a step back and you say, you know what? Let's let you get healthy because it's affecting your performance. Because something's affecting his performance.
Yeah, I mean, but I would be in the completely different school of thought. If you had played well the first 2 weeks, I'd be more apt to sit you if this was an issue. Because I'm like, okay, let's not ride this horse too hard because we got another 14 weeks to go or 13 weeks to go.
After this, yeah.
But since he has not been playing well, you do have an opportunity to take a leg up in your division because Atlanta already laid an egg in Minnesota, NFC opponent.
Mm-hmm.
So that already puts them down a rung. And right now, if you look at if we're looking at the landscape of what the NFC playoff picture, even though it's way too early to do that, if you did look at it, you'd have to say a second's coming out of the North and a second's coming out of the West. Well, we're going out West. We got to make sure that we're at least keeping ourselves in contention because there's still an opportunity and we do need to take advantage of the fact. So if I trust Kyle Allen enough to go win me this game based off of what I've seen against the Cardinals, okay, I get that. But if there's any chance that Cam will feel better, I'm putting Cam in because I need to win this game. I need to keep the foothold that we have on what is now looking like a topsy-turvy NFC South.
Even quarterbacks thought it was a terrible decision in Denver, and that has nothing to do with what happened in L.A. against the Saints. We'll get into that in just a second. Get lower-level tickets for only $9.87. Think about this. Paul Goldschmidt returns to Phoenix, and you only have to spend $9.87 to go watch him play. It's the Arizona Sports Half Day Club. We'll be broadcasting live from the Four Peaks Draft Room at Chase Field. Text HALF to 620-620, and we'll send you a link to purchase tickets. That's HALF to 620-620. Coming up next, the best sound from week two of the NFL. Sean Payton, how you feeling? Soundgarden is next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. So it seems like every time there's a good song on and I talk, Wolf can't take it and just railroads the show.
Yeah, that's okay.
And now I was quiet for like 4 seconds waiting for you to do something and nothing happened.
Really? That's all right. I'm busy right now, Douglas.
Oh.
Oh, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. I recall that the kick, of course, in the Wu-Fang Clan. Good morning, Basinonians. Ron Wolfley, Doug Franz. The Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning.
And even more savage now because Max Starks is here for Maximum Football.
No doubt about it.
And this is the beautiful part of the program where we set up Max and Wolf to go through the collection of crazy sound, as we call it in the business, comments from players as they went through week two of the NFL season, back it up with some good music, and since it's sound, we call it Soundgarden.
Soundgarden. Soundgarden. Soundgarden with Doug and Wolf.
Robey Coleman Super Bowl. Not allowing the proper running of the clock against Houston week one. And now week two. Rams beat the Saints 27-9 and one of the more controversial calls of the year. Every referee is told if there's any doubt in your mind, don't blow the whistle. We can go back and rule an incomplete pass later. Let the play play out. Cam Jordan did not get that benefit and had a potential touchdown taken away by a referee who's employed where, Cam Jordan?
You say a touchdown got taken away. I mean, I didn't even hear the whistle. I grabbed the ball 15, 20 yards down, and allegedly a whistle was blown. Clearly, I mean, a whistle was blown. Where normally you let the play happen, any footlocker, I mean, referee, usually tells you you let the play happen, and then you go back and review the play.
The Foot Locker.
I need 4 for 20 on those long white tees right now. Take the whistle out your mouth. I need a 4 for 20.
I think the New Orleans Saints ought to worry about the fact that they're number 27 in rushing yards per game and number 28 in rushing yards per play. That's what they ought to worry about right now. Giving up 5.57 yards per carry in two games.
I've always argued referees determine plays. They do not determine who actually wins and loses the game. There's plenty of opportunities for you to have done something. I'm starting to lose that argument when it comes to the Saints.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to the Saints, it is getting it is to the incredible. Point where, you know, I mean, what? You guys have a right to be upset.
It's a lucky horseshoe and rabbit's foot. What's the unlucky thing? What is that like?
They must be breaking mirrors in the locker room.
Friday the 13th.
Throw some salt over your shoulder. Something.
They've got issues. And it's so bad in New Orleans that it actually goes
you
all
have
the
no
way
marbles.
Up. It, speaking of voodoo in New Orleans, it actually goes up to Baton Rouge, where college coaches talk about it.
I felt bad for him, his family, and the Saints in the state of Louisiana, because I know how much he means to all of us.
I love Ed Orgeron.
Why do we play Ed Orgeron here on the Doug and Wolf Show? Because we can. That's why.
I would say, why don't we play him more?
It'd he just be sounds the, like a missing Muppet character.
Unbelievable. Does anybody else want to have, once in their life, sitting in a conversation between Ed Orgeron and Pat Mahomes? I mean, that's what I want.
That would be... It would literally be a unifying of Jim Henson's, like, alter ego characters.
I would love to see it. By
I
the
love
way,
Coach O, though. Coach
by
O
the
recruited
way,
me in USC.
Reasonably impressive weekend in the SEC. Speaking of which, number 8, Auburn, at number 17, Texas A&M. Number 7, Notre Dame, at Georgia. Hello. But back to non-
I felt bad.
Ed Orgeron stuff. Sean Payton, the other coach in Louisiana. Ref? Coach?
When we get poor officiating or we get an awful call like that, we can't control that. So our focus this week is going to be on cleaning up the penalties and making sure we got the right guys on the field, too.
Did it look like a fumble to you live?
Listen, I just finished telling you.
Sean Payton getting a little jacked up.
What
right
I love
there.
About it is, how do you handle it? We've got to worry about ourselves, but make sure you say what you think about the call.
When we get poor officiating or we get an awful call like that.
That's brilliant. Well done. Well done.
And now we move on.
That's all Drew Brees related, of course.
We move on to the continuing embarrassment of the Miami Dolphins and Bill Belichick. Why were you throwing deep in the fourth quarter when you're up by 100?
Oh, we're playing 60 minutes.
Did you want to send to your players after having your last year?
No. Just try to play 60 minutes.
I have no problem whatsoever. I ask no quarter, and I will give you no quarter if we're playing in the National Football League. I'm sorry.
However, though, and I listen, whenever you disagree with Bill Belichick, who's the idiot in the room? So that's me. I have never liked how he leaves Tom Brady in so long against opponents that are that you've got a commanding lead. He did it against Pittsburgh, too. I mean, you had that game won so much earlier, and yet Brady's still out there, and I'm thinking, why risk it? Are you really making Brady a better quarterback now?
Brady wants to be.
I was about to say, it's not necessarily about the coach's want and desire. It's about the player's want and desire.
Are you
going to go tell Tom Brady to go sit down?
Yes.
He doesn't want to sit up.
I'm sorry. Have you seen what Josh McDaniels goes through if he tries to tell Brady something?
I see.
So who's the one that's going to tell him? Belichick sure isn't going to do it because Belichick wants to win. And so Josh McDaniels, you going to sit him down? I don't think so.
Yes.
I don't think so. No, he's not.
Because
he didn't. Because he didn't.
If you didn't see the bad officiating in Denver, oh my goodness. I understand the famous Tony Siragusa play. You cannot put your weight on the quarterback.
Horrific.
Yet it was awful in Denver, and it took a drive that was going nowhere for the Bears and moved it up 15 yards.
We were toe-to-toe to them the whole game and had our chances to win there. You know, obviously the critical penalty at the end of the game there on the roughing call was huge because it stops the clock, saves their timeout, and gives them 15 yards. So I haven't seen the play yet, but, you know, that was critical.
Now, to be fair, they were consistent. Goodness. They called one on Bradley Chubb earlier in that game, which was just as bad, just as terrible.
Horrific.
Both teams got one, but it is you cannot justify that call and say you're playing football.
The NFL has got a problem. They have to fix that. They have to fix it and get it right because you can't play football. You might as well literally put a flag on the guy and pull the flag if you can't do that.
On a side note, if you didn't know about the Bears, last year, 0 50-yard field goals. In that game, 2. Maybe they've got right, it so. Fixed. Doug Marrone, sideline altercation. Jalen Ramsey.
Doug, can you explain what led to the disagreement between you and Jalen Ramsey and several of the players in the first half?
I had a lot of motion in the game, I'm sure. I don't know. I can't recall.
What do you mean? Wait. What do you mean you can't recall?
No,
you're not on Capitol Hill, Doug Marrone.
The one thing I do understand is that when you're on that field, it's a high-ass level. And I don't know if you haven't, and again, I don't mean to put anyone down. I'm just trying to paint this picture for everybody.
Hmm.
I would just like to add this. The whole city trash. Coaches trash, fans trash too. They only care about crab trays and hard drugs. I'm out. Jalen Ramsey on trade request.
Ball
hard drugs.
So, what, Doug Marrone?
The question is, what, Steve Keim? Do you really want that in Phoenix when you've got a cornerback need? And that's what he says on the way out the door? Yeesh. Derek Carr, you threw another pick.
That's Book of Antonio, chapter 1.
Yes, it is. Good
page
point.
Page 5.
Whose fault?
The second interception will blow my mind forever. It was offensive pass interference. They said he was blocking. So I asked the man, and I said, sir, why would I throw him the ball if he was blocking? And he didn't have an answer for me, and he walked away. So I don't know what to do in that instance. We got the coverage we want. We got the exact look we want. I'm throwing it to where I'm supposed to throw it, and they tackle our receiver, yet it's a penalty on us. Like that, this is changing the outcomes of a football game.
Hey, Derek, you haven't seen anything. You have not seen anything, all right? Because the DPI call against ASU, against Michigan State, that should get you fired up. Not what you saw, but what Herm saw.
And again, Michigan State fans, quit whining. Your old athletic director signed a contract that invited Pac-12 refs into your building. That's on you. We already see it every week. We know you actually signed something like that. It's just like Jennifer's sisters say, don't blame us for their mother. We got stuck. You married into the family. And, you know, they're right. By the way, when Big Ben got hurt, did anybody pay attention to how good Mason looked?
He's a legend. He's a future Hall of Famer and unbelievable player. And I truly do learn something every week from him, whether that be communication-wise or just his creativity and no huddle. You know, try to meet with him as much as I can during the week, you know, however available he is.
Are you buying, former Steeler, what everyone else is selling on Mason Rudolph?
I mean, he's okay. I mean, I'm not gonna go and, you know, shout from the mountaintops, we've found the second Messiah. But I mean, I think he's serviceable. I think he can do well. I think he has the capability. He has the resume from college. He knows how to throw the ball around. I just think he needs the proper weapons.
Gotta
healthy James
him.
Conner. And you, well, he will get protection. That's the one thing I will guarantee. That offensive line will protect him. Because Ben, when he had his injury, was all non-contact.
But as you know, it's not just an offensive line. It's everything.
Well, Roosevelt Nix, I trust him too.
It takes the call, right, coming in from the sideline, of course. It takes the backs executing, the wide receivers as well, running their hots and their sight adjust. It takes a team to protect a quarterback.
Well, it does take a team, but I also remember, for a majority of my career, a quarterback who also got 6 to 7 seconds to throw the football every time. So I'm like, there's no way he's going to be that long in the pocket. So and it should be cake.
Cardinals fans, you need to be rooting for Mason Rudolph. They're on the road this week at San Francisco.
Oh, there you
go. So you need Mason to do well.
Bury a little black and gold in your life.
And finally, did you see that one-handed catch along the sideline last night? Greg Williams.
This week, New York's defensive coordinator suggested that Odell is not a dynamic playmaker. Do you feel like he showed otherwise tonight?
He said that? Jeez. That's next question. Not a dynamic football player.
The throw down the sideline on the one-handed catch. calls it.
Pretty dynamic.
That was really good by Baker.
It was almost like Sal Palantonio had the routine down. Okay, you say this, I'll ask this question, you follow up with
right.
Baker was that good on his
choreographed
timing.
Choreographed to perfection.
That is your Doug and Wolf Soundgarden with Super Bowl winning offensive lineman Max Starks.
We call that an audiograph.
Up next, the Cardinals game Sunday was already in the winnable category. Did it get better? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.